Many of us may be familiar with the saying that the devil is in the details. But I'd like to challenge that statement in light of what we hear Jesus communicating to the disciples in today's gospel. For if we attend to the details of what he's saying to them about how they ought to go forth in his name, with his authority and power, then it can truly be said that God is in the details. In fact, scholars say that when you listen and attend to the directives that Jesus speaks to them about, taking only one walking staff, no money sack, no belt, and no other extra things, but one pair of sandals, one sandal, and one tunic. It is exactly the same way God told the Hebrew children to equip themselves before the Exodus out of Egypt, the place of slavery. And with that being said, it then brings us to consider the nature of the universal call and mission of holiness, which every single human being is invited to. It has in itself a character. First of all, we notice that no one chooses God. God chooses them. Amos was a dresser of sycamore trees. And you thought he was the president of the parish, didn't you? A dresser of sycamore trees. And a herd, the sheep, a shepherd of sheep. As he's being criticized by Amaziah, the priest, which was of the northern kingdom, the kingdom of Israel was divided, south and north. Amos was from the south. He was sent by God to go and warn them, speak on my behalf and tell them what they need to do to what? Change their ways, to rethink what they're doing before it's too late. Well, Amaziah didn't like what this prophet came to say, because first of all, he said that Jeroboam, the king of the time, was going to die because of his infidelity to his office of king. Because the uniqueness of the kings of Israel was that they were chosen by God, not elected by the people. They were chosen by God with a specific mandate to do what God intends for his people and ultimately for the whole world. And so we have a record of those kings, and most of them were not consistent in what they were called to, and Jeroboam was not. So Amos goes up and he declares what he was supposed to declare as God authorized him to do. And Amaziah says, go. He says, I'm not going anywhere. You're not in charge. God sent me here, and I've come to do what I've come to do. Now, when I'm done, then it's between you. Then you are responsible for what happens from there. And that's what he does. Well, they don't listen. Jeroboam dies, and the people go into exile under the Assyrians. Now we look at this gospel. 12 men chosen. We heard last week how Jesus was rejected. His people found him to be too much. Where do you come from with this? You're a carpenter's son. We know your mama, your brothers and sisters, your cousins, all these people are here. Where do you come from with this? And yet Jesus does not become dissuaded by them. He doesn't become depressed and dejected, but rather what? He perseveres and he delegates his power to those to whom he's to send. And he sends them out two by two. To remind us, we are never alone. We are never alone in what God has invited us to and what he sends us to. Ordinary people, just like you and me. Amos was ordinary. All of these 12 men were fishermen. They had different things. Today, we have teachers, doctors, lawyers, barbers, bartenders, all kinds of professions. And yet, in each capacity, ordinary though it be, because of what we've been invited to, and if we've accepted the invitation to salvation, we are now a part of an extraordinary work. Because what sets us, what's the distinction we can make between the way God calls us in light of the 12 disciples who become the foundation, if you will. They become the 12 pillars that are referred to in the book of Revelation, the 12 pillars that support the entire body, the entire temple. The names of the 12 apostles are inscribed. The book of Revelation speaks to this. That foundation becomes the basis upon which all of us ought to participate in Christ. Now, not everyone will do it in the same manner. Not all of us will proclaim this gospel in the same way. Not everyone is going to be called to a radical witness where we are being told to go sparsely in our travels so that our focus can be on the neighbor that we are called to communicate this gospel to and upon the God who says and assures us, I shall provide for you, and you must keep me as your ultimate and total focus in everything you think, everything you say, everything you do. Do not be preoccupied or caught up with the trappings that you might collect along the way. So that's one of the reasons why they're only told to carry one tunic. It continues to remind them of their identity. You notice the vestments of the priest. The chasuble is the outer garment. It represents, it symbolizes charity. It covers up what? The authority of the office, the stole. I remember when the night before myself and the other six men who were ordained with me in 2001, Archbishop Schulte said, gentlemen, remember, in your administration of the mission of Christ, always remember to soften the authority of the office with love, with charity, the chasuble of charity. And so as we look even deeper at the vestments, as we even look deeper at our call, how was it that you and I were established in this mission? We were purchased. St. Paul makes reference to it. We were predestined from the beginning. Before the foundation of this earth, you and I were called in Christ. We were purchased by the blood of the Lamb. The call to holiness fundamentally means your life and my life is not about you and it's not about me. It's about the plan and purpose of God. You notice that's how the song of praise begins. Blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. The focus is on God, and that's what our focus must be. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the relationship that God has initiated with us, and everything else shall be added unto you accordingly. Accordingly. So today gives us an opportunity to consider what has our attention. What particular thing or things or circumstance or person or persons has our undivided attention? Is it Jesus? If it's not, today is a good day to reflect upon how we have equipped ourselves in light of the directives, the very clear and direct directives of the Lord. How have we equipped ourselves? Because the scripture from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians says that we have been endowed with every spiritual grace and blessing in heaven. Which then begs the question, if we are not supposed to be focusing on the treasures of the world, then what are the treasures that God has invested into you and me to be successful and effective in the relationship that we're invited to? Because look, our liberation in Christ is not merely about the personal relationship we have with Jesus. Our liberation in Christ means now that we are missioned to be liberators of the world, to go forth from the mass. Oftentimes we say, I'm going to Mass. No, we come from Mass. I was in St. Veronica's Catholic Church in Virginia this past week. And when you're leaving out of the parking lot, there's a sign, now entering mission territory. as you're departing. Now entering mission territory, reminding us, go forth in peace. Announcing the gospel with your lives. That's the mission. To give freely what you receive. What have you and I received freely that we didn't deserve, but that God established for us in Christ? Reconciliation. Peace. Mercy. Justice. Each person is given what they're due as it pertains to the work that we are to participate in and to the particular contribution we are to make to the overall work of salvation. But we cannot do it effectively if we're not focused properly. Hence, the word of Jesus today. We are healers, wounded healers, as the Lord himself confirms when he comes to us in the upper room. Peace be with you. And then it wasn't until he shows us the wounds in his hands that the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. As the Father has sent me, so now I send you, breathing on us the breath of life. The Holy Spirit, we are now empowered to go with him, through him, and in him to the work prepared for us in Christ from the foundation of the world for a twofold reason. The glory of God, which is that God is pregnant with life, and secondly, for our own personal and universal sanctification, the restoration to the original state of grace that God intended from the beginning. What has your attention and what has mine? How we answer that question truly, ultimately, is a matter of life and death, eternal life and eternal death. God love you.